Blessed be Lord. Hallelujah. Turn and welcome someone this morning. Glory to God forevermore. It's good to see you. Thank God for his mercies, and let's have a seat. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. And today we want to start looking at, well, I've never given that kind of title before, Love Affairs. Hallelujah. And I was reminded that it's been like over a year since we had anything to do with relationships, marriage, and courtship, anything like that last. It's because it's not a subject you can exhaust. You can only touch it once in a while. It's just broad and wide. Hallelujah. And you cannot stop teaching some of those things in local assembly, because we are people, we still have this flesh and blood body, and we definitely will get to relate. But then again, we use God's word as a template for looking into some of these issues. Otherwise, we will find ourselves leaning upon cultural persuasions and traditional values and sometimes societal mindsets in order to understand what values God has with respect to some of this subject matters. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of his word giveth one light, and giveth understanding to the simple. The same Psalm 119 verse 9 says, where we shall the young man cleanse his way? It's by hearkening to your word. Hallelujah. So we look at God's word, because again, it's becoming very, very unfashionable to use the yardstick that God has given to us in the scriptures to regulate what we call our relationship. So we want to look at one or two aspects, because again, there's no way we can cover all aspects at once. And I'm going to start reading from Ephesians chapter 5, just to remind us on one or two things. So if you are yet to be in a relationship, it will bless you. If you're in a relationship, it will bless you. If you are married, it will bless you. If you're thinking of quitting marriage, it will bless you. Hallelujah. It's God's word. It's good unto all. Hallelujah. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at that classic text that most of us are used to. They read it at weddings also, wedding ceremonies. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, let me just pause here, because we're reading the epistles, and there's a way some of those epistles are phrased that you can easily miss the context of what it's saying. It's not saying that the church will be sanctified. It's telling you what Christ did to effect the sanctification of the church. Say amen. You're reading King James. So it's not telling you that the church will be sanctified. If we need to be sanctified, we're not the church. It's telling you what God did through Christ to ensure we're what? Sanctified. So notice, Christ gave himself for a purpose. The purpose was to sanctify. Can you see that? Can you see that? Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify. Now, look at verse 25 again. Husbands, love your wives, even as. So when you're reading the book of Ephesians, the reason why Paul is writing to the old church is because in the previous verses, he's writing to believers, saints, Christians. So he now began to focus on married Christians. That means there are Christians who are married, there are Christians who are married. So he's saying the general instruction given to the saints is what those who are married should now practice in the marriage institution. That's what he's saying. In other words, every instruction you find there, you will see even us, or us, even us. So he uses Christ as the yardstick. In other words, what we call marriage today, though it's a social thing and a cultural thing, with respect to the saint, not with respect to everybody, with respect to the saint, is meant to mirror the relationship that Christ has with the body. That's what's meant to mirror. That's what Paul is writing. So that's why you notice, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. But the previous verse, verse 21, look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in what? In the fear. When you hear the word fear, in reverence for what God has done. Out of reverence for what God has done. So you submit yourself one to another not because she's younger or because he is older, but in reverence for what God has done. He's talking to saints. So submitting yourselves in verse 21 is talking to both male and female. So in other words, let's say for instance you are a practicing Christian, I'm a practicing Christian, emphasis on practicing Christian. It is expected that one of the fruits we should see in your life is that you are submitted to other saints. Nothing cultural about that. It's extremely scriptural. So submitting yourselves one to another in out of reverence for what God has accomplished. Amen? Now, go back a little bit. Go to verse 1. We'll go back and forth. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as their children. The word there is imitators. You are to imitate. So the same way you see children, they mimic their parents. You know, my younger brother when we were young, and he still doesn't like driving till now, but he was the first person, he would take the paint cover, the cover of a paint bucket, he would go all around the house. That was when he graduated, though. Before he graduated, when I say graduate now, that's when he moved on something more solid, because after breaking all the plates inside the house, he would take the plates, he would be turning like this, moving, he'd be changing gear, imaginary gear. You see, he's driving. After breaking most of the place, now change to the cover of this paint. You know, the cover of the paint was just like that. He'd be driving. And one day, he actually snuck into the car. Nobody saw him. And we had the garage in our house. And he's got the car. And he had been watching my dad. So he also started the key and started the car. And the car jumped out of the car. Of course, ripped open the garage. Thank God there was a ditch in front. And entered the ditch. Promptly, he jumped out and ran away. Because he was afraid. Now, what was he trying to do? That was negative one. Imitating without knowing how to. Now, when he says, be ye therefore followers, the word is to imitate. He says, as precious children. Look at next verse. How do you imitate? Look at verse 2. And what? Walk in love. As Christ also, as one, loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for what? A sweet smelling savour. So the basis of instructions you're going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 5, the basis is walk in love, which is how to imitate God. Walk in love, which is how you imitate God. Hallelujah. So before you get all the way to verse 22, wives submit. He has said some things previously so that the one who is going to submit understands what do you mean by submission. The one who is going to love the wife understands what does it mean by love your wife. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Amen? So now, the minute you don't understand that, you will cherry pick. So while the man is saying, Bible says submit, submit, submit. The minute you are telling your wife to submit, you are not loving. If you have to tell your wife to submit, you are not loving. Husbands, love your wives. Wives again, love, love me, love. The Bible says you should love me. There's a misunderstanding somewhere. And this is important when it comes to the issue of choice. That's why I said it's going to cover every single aspect. Because you are looking at believers in the local assembly. The epistles were not written to believers on a WhatsApp group. Amen. Amen. Who have Jesus as their pastor. There's nobody who has Jesus as his pastor. He gave gifts to men. Say amen. If you are a low ranger, that's exactly what you are. You are a ranger and you are alone. You are meant to be in a local assembly. The epistles were written to people established in a local assembly. Once you are not there, the epistles are not for you. They are not written to you. That's important. So Paul is writing to people who are in local assembly. And in verse 17, it says, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, the will of God there means this is what God expects to continually manifest in your life. You are a member of a local assembly. How do you conduct yourself? How do you comport yourself? Now, remember this also, that in the local assembly, the first one that we have recorded in Acts chapter 6, what we call the early church, how did they pick those that will become deacons and leaders? Men who were full of the Spirit, isn't it? Okay, that means that they looked at their spiritual maturity and their natural behavior. So they looked at men who have integrity, wisdom, and who are full of the Spirit. So they considered wisdom, integrity, who are full of the Spirit. So integrity, that is character, is important, isn't it? Now it says, don't be unwise. have the understanding what the will of God is. He says, don't be drunk with wine when it's what? Excess. As simple as that illustration is, should you say yes to a brother who has drinking problems? The answer is no. He is still a brother. But your answer should be no. Because the weakness is already apparent. You can see it. Should you be drunk? Yes. Not with the one that comes from bottom. Amen. 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 Be not drunk when there's excess, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, which are hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and what? Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. What's the next verse? Giving thanks. How many times? Always. Unto God and the Father. In the name of. So, after verse 20, verse 21 makes sense. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear. Out of what? Reverence for God. So, the one who has learned to be filled with the Spirit means you are filled with the reality of what Christ has done. It shows in your speech, speaking to yourself. So, it shows in your speech. It can be seen in your conduct. Then, you are now called husband. You are now qualified to be a wife. Hallelujah. Let me say it this way. The person you are married to is God's daughter. Dear lady, the person you are married to is God's son. So God gives you instructions, the two of you, to know how to treat one another. If we follow Ephesians 5 alone, we'll have less disputes in marriage. Let me say something to you. Statistically speaking, I'm going to give you two statistics. Divorce in Christian marriage is higher than that in the world. That's number one. Number two, divorce with respect to those who make independent choices is against arranged relationships is more. Arranged relationships thrive and prosper more than those who make independent choices. You'll be shocked. It's 4-1. That means, listen carefully, though it's traditional and cultural, what our fathers used to do, you have a choice to like a person. By arranging relationships, they will go and investigate in that household and that family what they do, what they stand for. It used to work. You know what that tells you? You can grow to love anybody. You can grow to love anybody. They brought that for me from the village. You can grow to love her. If the character is right, some of you are laughing. You don't like this kind of thing. I'm just telling the truth. Statistics is telling the truth. You can grow to love her. You know what that means? The way you hype your emotions, you are hype, you know. Your emotions are not that important, too. Okay. This thing called marriage, your emotions are not as important as you think if you want it to work. Even you are falling in love today, you are falling tomorrow, to tomorrow. Like you are changing shirts. You are overhyping your emotions. That's where the problem is. Genesis 24, after prayer, Abraham as a prophet sent his servants. And it's a picture of the scripture, which is, I don't want you to take a wife of my son among unbelievers. Go to my mother's house and go and pick a wife for my son. And he prayed, the angel of the Lord that has stayed with me, he will go with you and go ahead of you. And the servant also believed, Eliezer. And he also prayed, when I'm going, the God of my father, Abraham, my master, prosper me. I wish we had time to go through the whole story. You'll be so blessed. Because in that trip, as he went, as he prayed, Rebecca came on the scene. But the man gave not just the spiritual dimension, the natural dimension. Let it be that the first woman, and I will ask, give me water to drink. She will respond politely. Number one. Number two, she will say, I will even give water to your camels. If you know what it means to give water to camel. Do you know what it means to give water to camel? You will not leave that place early. It's like saying that you came to fetch two jars of water. You are now fetching three drums. Camels are storehouses of water. Anybody who offers to give your camels water, is that that's how they are? You come from? You know, you come from. You say, my mother sent me to go and fetch water. So it must be your character to be generous and to be courteous because you have never met this man before. So the only way you can be courteous to a man you have never been before, because that's how you are. You can't pretend. So why do you think the Bible will record the fact that, yes, God prospered his journey, but the person God picked also had good character? Did you hear that Isaac and Rebecca divorced? Did you even hear that Isaac had another wife? There was no other wife. Isaac was the only one who had only one wife. Oh, go and check it. Abraham, bros. Jacob, bros. Joseph, maybe. Even Uncle Moses. Think about it. And it was arranged. And they met for the very first time. So, you are sometimes, you see, there's sometimes we allow the pressure of society and what they teach us to overshadow what God has said in his word. Abraham prayed. Eliezer prayed. God led them. And the person God chose still had good character, which is important. The minute Isaac saw her, he took her in and was comforted after his mother's death. That means she became not just a wife, but a mother to him. Because mother just passed on. And this is written in the scriptures so that we can understand why even character is important. Now, notice, in the local assembly, he says the one who is already submitting to the other brother, the sister who is submissive, is the one who will still be submissive in marriage. And he says you are submissive out of the fear. Let me say it again. Not because the person is older than you. Because what if you marry a man you are older than? And it is possible. It is possible. There are successful marriages. The woman is older. And they are partners in destiny. They didn't marry for just looks. They married for purpose and for compatibility. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have the scriptures to guide us. This is to a local assembly. So when you hear, go back to Ephesians 5 now. Thank you for putting that scripture. Thank God at least you saw. At least you have been reading that one. Because if I stay with that one, we will not live today. So Ephesians 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm saying this because I believe and I teach that if you're a sound Christian, because some of our brothers, they are so boring. They are so boring. All they know is Man U and Chelsea. That's all they know. And if you even know scriptures well, it will be good. They even know scriptures well. You can sing psalms, but you can't rap well. You know you need prayers. You need prayers. You say you can sing psalms, but you can't rap well. Is to even write one poem, one line, say that the problem of this country. And the sister is looking at you that you are very cumbersome. Because women by design respond to what they hear. By design. The same way men respond to what they see. So there's natural side of things and there's what? The spiritual side of things. Don't, because of the spiritual side, neglect the natural side. But don't overhype the natural side and neglect what? The spiritual side. So there's a healthy balance. We often say it this way. You, at one time or the other, in your relationship with your intended spouse, and by the time you got married, you had to express yourself as a man and say, I love you. No matter how shy you are, you had to say, I love you. Yes or no? I expect men to say yes. You can't even say yes. See yourself. I will ask you to stand up now. Yes or no? Yes. Can't even say yes. Can't imagine. You can't even say yes. If you can't say yes, you cannot say yes at home. You say, get up, go and tell your wife, I love you. That's how you're looking. Must I go and say it? Don't you love her? You do. Then why don't you say it often? I think I saw a post from Pastor T not recently or so about the fact that stop thinking it. Go and say it. And don't write it now. Say it now. You know, stop watching the match. Get up and tell your wife, I love you. Some of you are saying, eh? Some of you, if your husband comes say, I love you, say, eh? What happened? Did you win the match? You know what that means? She has not had it a long time back then. It's like they give you salary increase. What's going on? Meanwhile, it's supposed to be something that's consistent. Consistent. Why? See what it says. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your... The way love is being spoken of there is an action word. It means demonstrate something that can be seen. Husbands, love is something that you demonstrate, not something that you just say. Look, saying is the first step of demonstration, but something that you actively do to reassure. And I'll show you shortly. See what it says. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself. He did something. He gives you. It's not like Jesus was singing for you, I love you forever. I love you forever. Then he died. Then he rose. Then he redeemed. Then he washed us. Hallelujah. And he sanctified us. And guess what? He keeps expressing love daily to us. So when you ask God now, do you love me? Of course I love you. Not that I say, when I say I love you that time, I still love you till now. I've not changed my mind. Show that you have not changed your mind by expressing constantly a word, consistently. Does everybody write poems naturally? No. You can learn. You know, one of the advantages of social media, you can even copy and paste. If it reflects your feelings, yes or no? There are pages where you can get something like that. You don't have to be an original writer like some people. You can't even do copy and paste and just speak and say, okay, this one looks like suits what I want to say, and then say it. One of the challenges I've discovered of men, because I'm a man also, is that we see things and think things and at least say them, yes or no? Okay. If only a female said yes. How many of you have seen your wife passing and felt like, this woman is fine? But yours was just living inside of you. How many? Let me see men. But you did, when you noticed that you didn't say it. Now, ask yourself a question. Why didn't I say it? You know what that means? You have to learn to say it. I'm a few days old in marriage. Till now, I'm still learning how to say it. Somebody says, why? I think more than I say. Somebody says, why? That's how men are wired. We just think, this is nice. So maybe that's all your wife needs to hear, that the outfit she's wearing is fine. But you didn't say it. This girl, fine. And then, you just forget. Now, I'm saying that for ladies, it's not that men don't think it. The challenge is to what? Say it. And to say it is what makes things work. And one of these is because we don't realize how much saying it means to a woman. Think about it this way. If a man doesn't say, I love you for 3 months, as long as he's showing, I love you, how does he show? Submit. If you are a food person, cook good food on time, see what's on the hand. You see, as he just raised anybody. You say, good food. Censor your speech. Don't be quarrelsome. To dwell in a house with a quarrelsome woman, it's better to dwell on the rooftop. It's in the Bible. You know, kind of women that they are always contentious. Some women brought that from their family house. That's how they are. And some women think that's how marriage is run, that you must fight. They brought it from. And you have to reorient and help them. So you now stand in place of Christ. You are washing them by the word, washing of the water. By what? That is to chin down it. I'm serious. I'm talking from experience and counseling, that women who actually thought that kind of warfare is how marriages. It's really tough. You don't know how many people's psyche has been damaged by wrong influences. I used to know a lady that will not be okay in a week if the husband doesn't beat her. Yes. That's a damaged psyche. We don't fight. She's wondering, what am I doing wrong? We've not fought this week. Yes, I'm telling you what's happening in life, even among Christians. So there is a reorientation and a training we give ourselves in order to have successful marriage. Because listen, if the world is doing better, then it's not because we don't have the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is meant to be an edge, isn't it? An advantage. So how come? It's because our expectations and our practice, they don't match up. They often don't match up. That's why a marriage seminar is a war seminar. A marriage seminar is what? A war. We just remind you, this is your nature. This is who you are. This is what you are able to do. What does she like doing? Not what do you like doing. That's how to love a woman. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. What does she like doing? And what does she like? Not what you like. That's how to love a woman. What does she like? You don't like going out. She likes going out. Go out. That's how to love a woman. A few years ago, again, I just married a few years at that time. This couple had married for 8 years. I was about 3 years old in marriage. They are married for 8 years. And that's when I learned one or two basic things about relationships. Number one, women don't forget. They have a long memory. Most people don't forget, really. Just that it's what they remember that's the issue. Yes. So my memory is not so good. No, it's not true. It depends on the events. All you are using memory for. On the 6th of June, 1995, that's how you say I'm stupid. You know that they remember. 6th of June. Yes, I remember. It was about 4 p.m. in the evening. No, no, it was about 5 minutes past 4. Because that was the time they were trying to play this. They were watching this episode. The details. You said I'm stupid. That's what you said to me. You said I'm stupid. You're like, this woman remember what the husband said. And when she was even saying, she was even crying. And it was 8 years before. And the husband did not remember. So I told him, I said, now, you said it, you forgot. He said, I did ever say that. I said, you did. She remembers. You are forgotten. So what you don't mean, don't say. In marriage, is a rule. What you don't mean, don't say. If you speak always on the spur of the moment, you are going to have a terrible relationship. Now, look at that Ephesians 5 again. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Notice, he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with what? The washing of water by the word, that he might present it to who? Himself, a glorious church, not having spot, nor what? Wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought. So he's likening the relationship of Christ with the church, that the husband and wife. You know you have blemish, you have wrinkle. So notice the word, so ought. So ought husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife does what? Loves himself. Now, first of all, remember, even in making a choice, one of the things you should look out for beyond looks is compatibility. How compatible are you? Even in natural, with respect to spiritual values, how compatible are you? Are you going the same direction? Listen carefully. Again, when it comes to couples, you can see two believers who are having serious issues in marriage. On their own, they are good people. When they come together, they're a bad combination. I've seen that many times. Usually ends in divorce. Each individually, talk to them, they are good, wonderful people. In fact, this A will be better for D, and B will be better for E. But when A and B come together, it's warfare. That means they are not compatible. So they use other values above that compatibility in making a choice. And like I said, today of social media, you have to be extremely careful. Because your head will be up in the clouds and you are not facing reality. Listen carefully. Statistically speaking also, close to 60% of marriages that spend a huge amount on the ceremony fail. Because most of the time, they are doing it for social media. You think about it. To even propose now is an event. I don't understand. I thought proposal was meant to be a private matter. You went to go and rent a space to kneel down. I don't understand the problem. Is there any problem? You hire friends. Hire event center. I don't get. We are tilting gradually, and then when challenges come, you can't go and tell those people that they're scattered. And then unconsciously, our women are looking at that. If he doesn't do that, he's not really serious. That one that is doing it, that's one that's not serious. So. You are looking at fun fair. They brought me a bouquet of flowers. Where will you keep the bouquet after? Do you know what to even do with the bouquet of flowers? You know some things that people are just doing. They rehearse, they choreograph dance steps. Have you seen it? You know how many weeks it takes to choreograph the dance steps? Because you want to get married one day. 2 weeks after, all gems 2K. You are in trouble. Social media is a make-believe world. Don't get drawn into it. Don't fall for their tricks. People that are not okay are putting up pictures that look okay. And you are believing them. And you're like, my marriage is going to be something else. My wedding day. Wedding day. For something of a lifetime. Wedding day. Day. Wedding day. Wedding. When there's marriage. And a man you're with does not have all the funds now. But that's huge prospects that you can see. He's not lazy, he's hardworking. Listen carefully. One of the things you look out for in the road, that if he's lazy, don't marry him. Say, pastor says so. Don't marry him. Somebody says why? Because it's not likely to change. You know it's in the Bible. I can prove it in my Bible. Second Thessalonians, in case you think I'm just quoting. I might as well just give an opinion. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen. Bible was against lazy brothers. Verse 6. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you. See, can you see the command? We command you, brethren, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Withdraw yourselves from everybody that works disorderly. And not after tradition which you received. For yourself, you know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly. So their brothers will behave what? Disorderly. And let me say this again. If you're on fire for the Lord as a lady, look for somebody who is also on fire for the Lord. Now listen carefully. If he's not on fire, but the potential is there, it's okay. But if there's no interest, if you make yourself think he will change you. He will douse your fire. That's what he will do. To get him to come to church now, he attends the universal church right now. Online. And you think that suddenly when you marry, he will just suddenly change. To come for church meetings, prayer meetings, he doesn't, you can tell, he's dragging his feet. What miracle do you think will happen when you get married? Because again, let me say again, the instructions that are written here are written to people who are in a local assembly. That means the person is not even a local assembly. Don't even consider. Don't pray. Believers do some very wonderful things. Pastor, well, he's not really a believer, but I believe it's the will of God. You know, that's satanic. The word of God already tells you, don't be unequally yoked. Which doesn't cover marriage alone. It covers businesses too. Now, so don't be unequally yoked. You now want to go and pray. You will hear yourself in prayer. You'll be led. Supernaturally. You'll be led. Somebody says, what will lead you? Your feelings and your attachments. He's not really, but he's a very nice guy. Check all the fruit of the spirit. Niceness is not there. List it. You can check the list. Niceness is not there. Even Satan plays nice when he wants you. He's not there. And these are, now, you cannot walk in love hardly more than Apostle Paul. Look at what he says. We command you. Somebody's walking disorderly. It's a command. That means don't even think of marrying the person. Now, this is a brother in Christ, a member of the local assembly. More somebody who is outside. He said that, well, it's not every man that has to be. It's not like he's really, really Jim. That's how trouble starts. You're already going off the path. You're already looking for trouble. That means everybody has a nice car. Maybe he's doing a good job. I had a lady come in the show. I was shocked. She had married for 7 years. She said, I really don't know what my husband does. Has been good? She said, yes. How does it work? She said, he goes and comes. The show said that he's a drug dealer. Say, I'm sorry, your husband is a drug dealer. 7 years. Why would you marry a man that you don't know what he does? You can't investigate. Now, listen, we spoke about arranged marriages, how they used to succeed. They will investigate your family. What runs in your bloodline? What they do in your family? What's your family known for? Are they known as thieves? They will find out what, I'm telling you, do they have peculiar diseases? What happened in this family? Maybe all they have are just boys. Nobody gives back to a girl. Or maybe they don't have children. They investigate that much. And now, these people, they don't necessarily have God. They just follow natural, and guess what? They succeed. That means even using some of those natural laws, they will succeed. How much more you that you have the Spirit of God? So in a local assembly, now he's telling you that though these are members of a local assembly, if he's working disorderly, not according to what you have received from us, don't associate with the person. That means before your feelings get entrapped or entangled, what they now call entanglement. Once your spirits get entangled, once your emotions get entangled, you're in trouble. You need help at that point in time. Hallelujah. You need help. And that's why I said social media is carefully crafted such that you will lean more on your emotions than what makes sense. That's why you have to have made up your mind before anybody comes into your space about what you want, what you value, and what your priorities are. Compatibility is more important than looks, so when it comes to this journey. The looks will change, but how much you fit the other person will not change. If you keep appreciating, you keep thanking God. Hallelujah. You keep thanking God. Second Thessalonians. So he says, for you yourselves know verse 7, how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, in that we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have no power, but to make ourselves what? An example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not walk, neither should he what? Eat. Can you see that? If any will not walk. So the potential to earn is seen in your readiness to walk. It's not seen in fact that you have a huge salary to start with. It's seen your dedication to a work ethic that can be seen. It can be seen. People can tell that you're hardworking. Guess what? People can tell if you're also lazy. People around you can tell if you are lazy or they can tell. So there's a dedication to a work ethic that people can see. Even when you are yet to have a high-paying job, your commitment to the things of God and your readiness to do any available work shows that you are ready to do what it takes to succeed. It's one of the things a woman should look out for before she ever accepts a proposal from you. That you are a brother, you are blood-bought, you are blood-washed, thank God for you. Paul says that you should not eat. You know what that means? Let me tell you what you're saying. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk amongst them, walking not at all, but they are busybodies. They only go for evening gist. Before there is no assembly, they will start gathering a beer palace. And you know, evil communication does what? You know, you think that you are very good at, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke. Work with those that do regularly enough. After a while, you won't see anything evil in it. Just hang around them enough. I've seen women scatter their homes because of wrong counsel and associations. A woman to another person, you are helping your husband to pay school fees. For what? For what? Let him pay. Let him cough out the money. When everything was already scattered, out of the pressure, you must pay. You know you are earning much more than he does. And only two of you should know that you are earning much more. Which can be as a result of qualifications. If the man is not earning as much as you are earning, he should be able to meet up in other areas. How many of you I'm talking about? If he loves you, cares about you, demonstrates love, the money difference wouldn't really matter because you are earning more. That's why I say it's not about a cultural thing. If you're a cultural person, if you go to Europe or the UK, Europe's part of UK, or you go to, let's say, America, or the way work ethics is different. If one of you has more qualifications and you get a higher paying job, and you know when it comes to child care, it's very expensive. It's not like here that you just call grandma. You have a child minder. No, because you know that in Nigeria, we need supernatural help to get somebody to take care of you. How many of you know what I'm going on? Because my brother-in-law said, first person, second person, third person. They will bring them in and go and do tests for them. HIV. This one, hepatitis. They go fed up. We're not taking any again. We don't know what they are bringing. When we needed one, when our kids were very small, we prayed. And God just gave us a particular person. She's been with us for like 16 years now. Same person. Like 16 years now. It was just a gift. You know, God just said, like, I don't want you to stress yourself. Just take. You will need this. Just take. Because you need, now, in those countries, you can't just get anybody anyhow. You will pay through your nose. Now, in some cases, somebody will have to stay home for somebody to go. Now, if you are like, I am the head of this house. In Canada, I'm the head of this house, and she's earning more than you. And you ask the person who is earning to stay at home, you will suffer. Because you think the head means that the one you, so the woman's place is in the kitchen. Eh? What if you are a chef? If you are a man, you are a chef. I say the woman's place is in. So what does that mean? No, for you, the man's place. I mean, does that not tell you? There's some things that are not even in the Bible that we just pick up. The woman's place in the kitchen is women that should take care of. Let me say something to you very important. Besides nurturing a child naturally with a woman, there are men who are better at taking care of children than women. Yes or no? There are men who are more good with children naturally now. Not because the mother, they're just naturally good with children. How many of you know that? So all these myths that we just speak about, I mean, some things are not even scriptural. They're just cultural. And we need to revisit them. Every little thing, go and meet your mother. Go and meet your. Every sport, go. I don't like Wala. Go and meet her. Because your mindset, that's how they used to do for you when you were young. Wala, you said, how can you come and meet me? Now, you know, if you come to my house, you'll be surprised. Because most of the time when they want to eat, my kids ask me for food. Dad, what are we going to eat? I'm like, I'm not your mother. Go and meet your mommy. What are you going to do? Somebody said, why? Because when they were growing up, that was our arrangement in the house. Because my own time was a bit more flexible. And she had to leave very early for work. So I want her to rest. So we had an agreement. You can't bring traditional cultural thing to that. It is about love for each other and looking for what works for us. I will not export it to you. It works for us. I won't make it a law for you, but it works for us. So if you see me washing plate, say, you have seen vegetable. Thank you. I have eaten, yes, you have eaten. I can see I have eaten. And in my eating, I have peace. But you that you have not eaten, can you see your life? Africanism, can you imagine? Yeah. He's opening the door of the house for his wife. He's always going to continue. Where are you? Just say, where are you now? With all your contract, where are you? Where are you now? Because we have to allow. It says, this, which is as Christ loved the church. That means that Christ lowered himself in order to lift us up. And then the man of God said, I'm not forgotten. He said, if men know what it means to be the head, you will not be claiming it in the house. I'm the head, you will not say it again. Because when you are saying, I'm the head, like, I'm the chief sacrificer. I'm the sacrificial lamb. I'm the one that will die first. That's what it means, though. I'm the head of this house. Means I'm the one to first die. If there are only four pieces and we are five, I'm the one not to have any piece of meat. You know what we think when we say we're the head? The African man. I'm the first person to eat meat. The biggest piece is mine. Any other piece, that's what you are thinking because of the African name. But when you say you are the head, it means you are the source. You are the one who sets the example for even the kids to follow. I've had issues sometimes when my kids, I'll tell her, go and apologize to your mom before you talk to me. If you don't treat her right, I can't listen to you. Because that's meant to be the rule, even of a father. You don't understand that mystery, don't worry. Where are we? I'll talk about that mystery later. Hallelujah. So it's important that the values that are presented in local assembly, a brother that's filled with the Spirit, a brother that's consistent, one whose conduct is becoming of a saint, is a person you should consider. So Paul gets down to brass tacks and says, if someone is walking in disorderly fashion, don't consider him. That means before you catch feelings, have spirit and stay with the word. And let the word therefore guide you. Because let me say it again. Let me show you something in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Are you in Acts 13? And if you go all the way down to, look at the first verse, Acts 13, first verse. When the church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was of Cornelius and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me one, Barnabas and Saul, for the workmen to have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by who? Who said, separate me? Barnabas and Paul, the Holy Ghost. Who sent them forth? The Holy Ghost. They departed unto Seleucia. From thence they sailed to what? Cyprus. Two chapters after, these two men will go their separate ways. They were match made in heaven, but they went their separate ways. Somebody says, why? The answer is very simple. They are men. They can fight. Who put the team together? The Holy Ghost. Who went their separate ways? Men. Can God tell you this is your wife and you will fight? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You go your separate ways? Oh, yes. You will divorce? Oh, yes. And it's God that chose it for you. What does that tell you? Your will is still involved. Your choice is still involved. And because you are men, you may still disagree with the mind of God. That's why nobody should come to you for a relationship and say, God said, go and tell your pastor immediately. Because when I say go and tell your pastor, it brother may not be wrong, may just lack wisdom. God said it's personal to you. You hear what I said? God said it's personal to you. It's not meant for negotiation. You don't bring God said to proposal table. Proposal table is you've looked at each other, you're friends, you fit, there's compatibility. When you are going in the same direction, you proposed. It's when she has agreed, you can say that actually God spoke to me. Don't start with God spoke to me. It's manipulation. Tell me this is why. We cannot trust your God spoke to me because we know what you are hearing. We don't know what you are hearing.
So you cannot be saying God spoke to me and they will just believe you. You know how many people God spoke to that they were president of Nigeria? It's God that spoke to them. I didn't say God didn't speak to them. But I know they are not president now, sir. That's what I know. I didn't say God did not speak to them. I just said that. So when you come and tell me God spoke to them, you don't bring that to that table. What you bring to the table is integrity and soundness with respect to the needs of God. Then let the lady make her choice. That's the way it works. So to make yourself marketable, you follow the principles already laid out. This is what is expected of you. Character is important. Very important as a believer. And there are some believers whose character is bad. If it's not so, Paul will not say those who are walking disorderly. So there were believers who were busybodies. You know, there are ladies that they have only one problem. They cannot keep a secret. If they not told somebody, their mind will not come down. They'll be shaking like this. Who can I tell? Who can I tell? Oh, Sister B is not at home. She's not even picking her call. If they hear, like, if they have not told somebody, going, the thing is hot in their body. The body's not sensing now. Go and pray in tongues. No. Oh. Why is Sister Tola not picking her call? She's not even in the shop. I don't know. This is the time somebody should be around. And it's a weakness that can become wickedness. You can't keep a secret. That means you are not discreet. Now, that kind of person, all the matters of your marriage will be on social media. I don't understand. You and your wife have issues. You are posting on social media. People should be very, very careful in marriage. It's you and your wife. Oh. People should be careful in marriage. Women of nowadays are not submissive at all. And it's your wife we are talking about. Is that there's no maturity. I mean, you lack wisdom. You lack, that's what it means. That's what people are doing. You lack wisdom. And you want things to work. It won't work. 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to laugh and learn at the same time. And I hope you are getting something. So I'm making it as light as possible. That's why I'm not doing too heavy a doctrine. But behind the base is that you need to understand that even God has principles that should not be violated if you want things to work. And like I said, don't forget that God said doesn't mean to work. Because they are individuals. Because some of us think that because it's not working, that means God did not say. No, God really did. Two good Christians married to people they shouldn't be married to because there's no fit. And because purposes are diametrically opposed to one another. That's the truth. Like I said, because feelings are overhyped. Let somebody treat you. Have you noticed that kindness is the love language for women? Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Except you are really ugly as a man. Except you are really ugly as a man. If you are kind to a woman, naturally, except there's somebody in the picture already, things can happen. If you are just, because kindness is a love language for women. That's the truth of matter. So it's the woman that will not decide whose kindness you will accept. I hope you understand what I'm just saying. Because kindness is, that means, that's why, if you say you love a woman and you're not kind, I don't understand. You say, I love you, but you're tight-fisted. No, you don't love. And it's not about how much you have, it's about what you are willing to do with what you have. You hear what I said? There are gifts that, I told somebody, I said, there are very few things people can buy for me that I cannot afford. But it's very interesting. And somebody will just buy, like, maybe a bottle of perfume. In fact, it's so ridiculous. Somebody bought me colored face towels. I was so happy. And she was shocked. Pastor, it's just $1,000. I said, you don't understand. Because I can buy more expensive things for people, but the things that they give to me as gifts are things I value. I mean, even sometimes. Because you think that because a person uses expensive things, everything must be expensive. No, it is the thoughtfulness behind it. You know how many Bibles I have? And somebody just goes to go and buy a Bible, and it's even giant print. I will just be loving you. Somebody says, well, because you just assume it has something really big. And the woman is just thinking, if you give me something that shows that you were thinking of me, you passed by a place, you saw something, like something she would like, you stopped by, you just picked up, you dropped it off. And you are waiting until you have big money. And then suddenly, economy has jammed you. You have jammed economy. The big money, when it comes, rent, say, you took the big money. Fuel is taking big money. What you could have done with 10,000, said, no. My wife is not cheap. We know. But because you never even thought of Simple things, little things. That's why things are not working. Because and what is even worse, you didn't buy, you also did not speak. So you are convincing your friends in two lanes. You bought nothing, you said nothing. The relationship is dying because you are not watering it. What does that to water and to nurture? You do things that shows that you care. Hallelujah. And at one time, my wife had to tell me that, my husband, please stop buying me food in Jesus' name. Say the food you buy, the quantity is too much. I said, it's not me. It's where I buy the food. During the fast, so that by the time we come to church, we don't get to eat until late in night. So she will prefer to eat before we get home. So I'll just buy something. And then I said, it's not even me. This is how much I pay for the food. This is how much they give. Because the people that are selling the food, I'm usually getting us to them. So once it's me that buying, you'll just be eating. I'll be honest. How do you not tell them that way? It's enough. Once you just allow them, you're only special. You see them dropping everything. Go and serve pastor. This pastor has come. Go and just give something. So because it's just good to be kind to people. You know, so. But I'm saying that you think you can eat at any time. But I think about that, okay, she's washing away another thing. So she prefers to eat before, so I'll buy. And throughout the fast, I will do that. She didn't ask me to do it, but just a thought. Let me help this way. Does that go along with saying I love you? Oh, yes. It does. Someone says, food? Okay. It's not something big. It's just something to just let the person know that I'm thinking of you and I care about how you feel. And these are things we do regularly. You cannot buy 150,000 naira wig now or 320 naira wig now. But even the little year that she does is on the fourth day. That have you not seen my hair? You don't hear? That thing can annoy women. Yeah, you made your hair. I didn't know. It's like the same to me. You have offended already. You already committed the candidacy. It's the same to you. Where did you put your attention? It's the same to you. So those are little things are not big things. 1 Peter chapter 3. From verse 1, quickly. So this is just like, we're just introducing, so because we've not even started. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Look at what it says. That Peter and Paul were two apostles who spoke, said something to us about marriage. Interestingly, this is the only chapter that Peter wrote with respect to marriage. The only chapter. Paul wrote one or two. 1 Corinthians 7, Ephesians chapter 5, and then a few in Colossians 3 also. So look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, she wives, be in subjection to your own husband. The word subjection is the same word as the word submission in Ephesians 2. So in Ephesians 5 rather. That if any obey not the word, they also without the word be won by the word conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That's the word fear again. That's the word reverence. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the ear and of wearing of gold or putting of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible or subject to decay. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of what? Great price. Heavy figure of speech. He uses the word ornament. He uses the word adorning. Now, so he speaks about a woman's conduct as a believer. Now, contextually, what he's talking about? He's talking about women who are married to men who are not believing. Husbands. That's what he's talking about. He now says there is a possibility. It's not foolproof. It doesn't always work. But said there's a possibility that you can win over an unbelieving husband by the right conduct. In other words, adorn yourself by being courteous, by putting on the love of Christ in submission. He says, when they see the gospel displayed in your character, the man that has refused to obey the gospel may eventually learn to what? Obey the gospel. That's what he's saying. So now, let me say it again. It does not always work. There are cases where the man will still not pay attention to all that, even when you are doing your best. Can even become up to the exceptions. But Peter is saying, what God is seeing in that situation is that your conduct before God is priceless. God values that kind of conduct, which is the situation does not negate the nature of Christ within you. The nature of Christ is still what you are putting on display. So in essence, he's saying this. He says, when as a woman, and that affects those who are also single also, that let what we see radiate through you not just be the brand new wig and the costly jewelry and the nice garments. Let it be that the conduct of Christ that we see in you becomes the primary way we recognize your beauty. Hallelujah. Let it be the primary way we recognize your beauty. And again, we have several scripture examples. The reason why David fell for Abigail was because of her conduct as a woman. There was a conduct that woman had. That you really wonder, how did she enter the house of that other strange man? How did such a man get that kind of woman? The way she came to David to prevent David from missing God, that's a godly woman. And the Bible says, now, after that happened, well, and the woman was also good to look at. You know, that's a fine babe. She was also a lovely woman. But it was a conduct that David foresaw that a woman like this. Because David was so angry with the man, he felt unfairly treated. David and his men surrounded Nabal's cattle, his animals. They were protecting. They were all on the right and on the left side. They were protecting. They made sure that strangers did not come to snatch away the animals. And then one day they just needed just a few things. And they sent a message to him courteously. This is what David says to a man that lives in honor and in majesty. Listen to David, your son. Give us a little. And the man said an insult back. Who is David? All these stray people who just leave their master's house without graduation, without any, they just leave. And they are now claiming they took their people. They are looking for, I don't have anything to give people like you. David was upset. He was really angry. And he told his, looked at his boy, his the men with him, said, before tomorrow morning, if there's any meal left in the house, God has not called me. And the woman heard. And it was one of the servants who was watching with the cattle, who knew that David and his men protected them, who ran to the woman and went, that stupid man, he will put all of us in danger. This is what he sent. This is what he sent to David. And the first thing that woman said, can you find a woman who can remind you of God's purposes concerning your life and speak those things to you at the right time when you need it? Or do you have a woman who always talks down to you, makes you feel like you're less than a man? I mean, I've been with a man who said that whenever my wife speaks, I feel like I'm angry myself. So a woman's mouth is dead. When they speak like this, you first ask, why was I born? Why was I? You are sorry for everything. You're even sorry for being born. When they finish with you, you like, look at yourself. And I called myself a man. She went to waylay David with enough provision and said to him, it is clear that God has called you to be king. And when God will give you victory over your enemies, this particular act you're about to do may become a reason for reproach in your life. Why didn't you let God avenge you? Now, she told David, it's obvious God has called you to be king. That's a woman who speaks the purpose of God in your life. That's the kind of woman you need as a wife. How will you know from courtship it starts showing? That when she speaks, something inside you rises. When you are down, something inside you begins to jump up and is happy. Not the one that when you are down from 90 to 50, when you meet her, you know it's going to be zero. Sorry, minus. There are women like that. When they speak, their mouth is like a two-edged sword. Both edges are bad. That's what David said. That's what Abigail told David. Eventually, when her husband died, David sent for her and married her formally. It was because of the way she conducted herself. She first bowed herself to the ground. Maybe next week, we'll read the whole story in 1 Samuel chapter 26. She bowed herself to the ground, honored him. I said, my Lord, don't do this. I know, just as everybody knows, that God has called you to be king. Reminded David of God's anointing upon his life. And because of that, if David looked at that, you are blessed among women. God sent you so that I won't avenge myself with my own hands. Guess what? The foolish man, when he heard, just hear me, because by the time she pacified David and David went back, do you people read the Old Testament? Pastor T, we are going to do Old Testament reading this year. Amen. From Genesis, you will not skip any book in Leviticus. Amen. But also, you just skip. And, you know, even when you get Numbers, begat. You will read in Jesus' name. So you won't skip certain details. When the woman got back home after David was pacified and told the husband, you don't know anything. You're already a dead man. This was what was planned. Just by any, he had a heart attack and died. Just the fear, he died. But there was a reason why that story was written. To see the conduct. Was she a beautiful man? Yes. A beautiful man without character is useless. Completely useless. Can't speak to God's purpose in your life. Can't be the voice of God in any situation in your life. A marriage is for a purpose in God. So the woman that can speak God's purpose in your life is more important than all the beauty and all the appearance. And because people have lost their way, so that's why we have BBL today now. I wish BBL can work on character. We all BBL your character. Should have been good. Your BBL, yours BBL. I don't know what they will call it. Maybe it's not BBL. Pastor C doesn't know what BBL is. I don't know. It's tongues and interpretation. Please, someone interpret for Pastor Tunde. Pastor Tunde lives in heaven, comes from heaven, goes in heaven. It's not just, can you see? You can see the spirits we have. Blasphemy also does not know, see? These are the spirits we have in this church. That's these are the spirits we have in this church. You know, so people, now, again, why is there a rise in those things? Because when you see those things happening in the world, understand what is happening in the church also. The reason why there's a rise in that is because attention has been taken from substance to appearance. That's what's happening. They're taking attention away from substance to what? Appearance. That's why everybody wants a grand wedding, even when there's nothing to go home to. Nothing to go home to. And if we're not careful, we start copying them. Valentine's on Wednesday, isn't it? You will see commotion in town. Everybody wearing red. As though that red means anything's working. As though it means anything's working. And then usually you don't have VAR. Will now be looking at me. Can you see my life? They didn't tell you that it's all a mirage. So you are just clothes of that day. And some people are like, they didn't send me a surprise package at work. And you call yourself a man. But that's the week that you're going to pay rent too. So I should use the money to send you a supply package and forgo rent. Then when we forgo rent and I send you a package, we will package outside of the house. Discuss and understand. And that's why you usually tell husbands. Husbands, give your wife a treat from time to time. Don't wait for Val. Val is cool. Val is cool. It's cool. Somebody says, can I give the gift for no reason? Exactly. Exactly. Buy a gift for no reason. Because that is, if you leave it to the way you think, bad day, bad day, bad day. Ah! Is that bad day, 21st, 22nd? That's your wife, oh. Is it 21st, 22nd? Just know that you are done for. That you need prayer. Just come to Pastor Tolu to lay hands on you. And to send a missile squad and help you beg that. Go and ask her, sorry, is it 21st or 22nd? That's your wife, oh. Bad day. Then anniversary. Why? Because there's some things that matter to a woman. I don't really matter to us as men. First time my wife asked me that. What's the day that you propose? I looked at heaven. You see, the day you propose, does it really matter to a man? Is like thinking, I shall propose. Where we are. Fortunately, I remembered. God help me. Not forget our bad day once. You will not forget again. It's miraculous how you will never forget again. What will happen to you the day you forget? You will not forget again. But you know, there are some men, they forget even their own bad day. So if somebody is forgetting his own bad day, it's a truth that say, Pastor Tunde is your bad day. Eh, it's true. You know you cannot be offended. Because his own bad day, he has forgotten. That remind him. So you know that for him, forgetting your birthday is not because he does not love you. Because himself, you need to help him remember his own birthday. So you have to look at something else with respect to how you measure his love for you. Amen? You have to look at something else. So if you're looking at Sister Tolu, great brother Emmanuel, spiritual brothers know how to pick good women. I want to copy. There's something that works for them. It may not work for you. Question, what works for you? Something as simple as hot food, cold food was an issue 3 months after I got married. I called my wife, I'm coming home. And then, so I expected food to be ready. And I was quite hungry. And food was not ready. I wasn't happy. 3 months after I got married. You think you know everything about your partner? No. You will discover some things. Some things are for discovery. Alex was the only one who was upset because she had a very good reason why she had not made food. She wanted me to enter the house and I make it hot. And I look at her, I don't like hot food. See problem. It was revelation to her. Eh? She's like, who doesn't like hot food? It's me. I don't like hot food. I can eat about 3 days. Yes. Some of you are not winning up. You know you're like that. You don't want to confess now. I'm confessing your sin on your behalf now. You're not agreeing. It's not which you support this club. So it was revelation. Now, what was her intention? I know. I cannot give my husband cold food. It has to be hot. But where she's coming from, everything is hot. Everything is hot. As far as I'm concerned, only a few meals can be eaten hot. And to make sense. But there's some things. Rice, if it's hot or cold. Eba. Panda yam, it has to be hot. It won't make sense. Amala, it has to be hot. It won't make sense. But so, now, that was the first time she was hearing that. I didn't mind. So she wanted to do something good. I got upset over it. So that day we learned the lesson. Both of us learned. She has good intentions. I was upset at the action. So we learned how to, I hope you understand. So there are differences that but if we were not a good fit, it would become something major. Because something that seemingly small can escalate. How does it escalate? Not what happened, is what you said when it happened. That's the problem. If you insult your spouse, it's difficult to forget words spoken by somebody that's meant to love you. Whatever any other person says outside doesn't carry as much weight as a person who knows you directly. Whatever they say, you seem to take it to heart because they know you more than the person outside knows you. So that's why we're careful. Whatever you don't mean as a man, don't say. When you're angry, zip it. Let your wife be angry and not talking is better. Now she's angry because of what you said. I had to talk to a lady. I don't know whenever my husband, we are fighting, my husband will not talk. I said it's sense, so it's serious sense. Because after he finishes talking, everything will just scatter. So he's keeping quiet because when he calms down, it can make more sense. But when he speaks, when he's angry, you will say things that you're not supposed to say. Anger lies in the person of a fool. Exactly, isn't it? He lies. Anger. You say things out of turn. And because your relationship was established on words, it can be destroyed by words. So don't let anybody deceive you and tell you that words cannot hurt me. It can break you. It can break your bones, break your emotions, break everything about you. Words can. That's been proven scientifically that it can. And psychologically also. So the words that I listen to every day, that's why words of affirmation is very important. A man is struggling, finances are in decline, and you speak to the purpose of God in his life. I know what I saw before I married you. I know you're going to do very well. I know you'll prosper. I know God didn't make you the head by accident. It's because he will give you all it takes to provide. I know your business will pick up. That's what you are saying. Regularly, the man is blessed to have you. Let the man be blessed to have you as his woman. Because of the kind of words you speak. It's important. What can make or break? We'll continue next week.